to encourage you, if you haven't signed up for our meal on Wednesday night and to join us, it's not too late. We've got one more Wednesday with our one another's, and then we will again jump right into the created pound sign, created with purpose. So come join us. Come join us on Wednesday nights. We're going to have a great time together. As you receive those, they're also going to be passing out right now a little cup that looks like this. You will need this today. And let me just instruct you as we are passing these out. The Lord's Supper is for His church, and the church is made up of individuals who have trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, have followed Him in a believer's baptism, and are walking as best as they possibly know how, fulfilling God's will for their lives. So today, we as a church, whether you're a member of our church or not, we invite you to join with us as we will celebrate the Lord's Supper together today in just a little while. But I want to encourage you as well that, and I leave it entirely up to you parents, as your children are here with us in the service today, whether you allow them to partake or not. But remember, it is for believers who are walking in obedience to Him and are have followed Him in a believer's baptism by immersion. So come, and right now our young men are going to be passing those out. So you take them and hold on to them, and I'll need to instruct you as we get there, because this is different than the way we've been doing it, and nobody likes difference and change. But we're agents of change around here. Didn't Jesus change your life from death to life and darkness to light? Amen. So enjoy the change. Hashtag enjoy the change. All right. Once you get these, I need to tell you so that when we come to the point in the service where we're going to do the Lord's Supper, there are two lids here. There's a little clear lid on top. You will pull that off first, and it will expose the wafer. Don't do it now. And then you will pull the second part off, which will expose the juice. So remember, you've got a little cellophane layer on the top that will get you to the wafer. And you will follow along as we will partake in the Lord's Supper together in just a while. Turn with me today to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 22. And they'll continue to pass those out to make sure that everybody gets one. Let me read for you. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 through 25. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting. In other words, that's used there in another translation, is provoking one another. The only time really you're supposed to provoke somebody is to provoke them to come and gather together as we're gathered this morning. Not forsake that, because it is a vital part of the Christian life. It is an essential part of the Christian life. And if you are forsaking in your life this assembling together, you're missing a great part of helping you be able to grow as a believer. Because it says that we are to exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is that? I believe that's the rapture of the church, the day Jesus is coming after his folks. So let's look, first of all, in this passage at our responsibility as believers. Verses 22 through 24 give us three responsibilities. The first we see is that that we're to provoke one another, our responsibility as believers. We are to spur one another on and toward love and good deeds because of a Godward responsibility. Look in verse 22. It says, let us draw near with a true heart. With a true heart. We must be conscientious when we come near. In other words, our hearts need to be pure. A true heart when we come together. And when we are there, we're to come with a true heart in assurance of faith, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. So we come, first of all, with a true heart, a conscientious approach, knowing that our heart is right with God. And today, if your heart's not right with God, listen, don't leave this place today without getting it right. In fact, stop this service and we'll send everybody on out. And we'll sit here and talk with you and pray with you until you get ready. That's how serious an issue it is. There's nothing more important than whether you know your heart is right with the Lord Jesus. And if he were to come today, that you would go with him. So come conscientiously. Second thing is, we must be confident when we come near. In full assurance of faith. We have a no-so salvation, not a so-so salvation. The Bible says here we can draw near with a true heart and with a full assurance of faith. It's not, well, am I saved? Well, maybe. I don't know. I was at one time. I'm not sure. No. 1 John 5:13 says, I write these things so that you may know that you have eternal life. For those who have believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Our salvation is assured because you and I had nothing to do with it, other than placing our faith in the one who had everything to do with it. He, Jesus, paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And buddy, when he washes it clean. So we come with confidence, knowing that we have the Lord Jesus waiting for that day when he comes to take us home. Then third, we must be cleansed when we come near. Notice what it says, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Now, what in the world does that mean? Think about this for a minute. Before you came to know Christ, your whole mind, everything about your life, and I say this from my own personal testimony, everything about was about me. It was about what I could do, what I needed to do, how I could get more, do more, to make my life better, to make my life easier, to have more pleasure, to do all this. I was seeking nothing but what was good for me. But when Jesus Christ came, he sprinkled my heart with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In fact, he imputed to me, that's what the scripture says, he imputed to me the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and he took my dirty flesh heart and he gave me a new spiritual heart. And he changed my whole perspective on life. He changed my attitudes. He changed my ambitions. He changed my affections. And he did the same for you. Now, yeah, you still struggle with things when things happen in your life. But listen, God has given you a true heart. He has given you full assurance of your faith in Christ. Because of what Christ has done, he is complete. And there's nothing else that needs to be added to it or taken away. And as well, he has cleansed you from all of your sin. That had been a great place for glory right there. Cleansed you from all of your sin. Not just some, but all of your sin. Past, present, and future covered by the blood of Christ. Justification, sanctification, glorification. Penalty of sin, power of sin, presence of sin. He has taken all of that from us and given us a whole new life. That's a Godward responsibility. When we come to Him with, we must come conscientious. We must come confident. We must come cleansed. And then we can spur one another on toward love and good deeds because of a selfward responsibility. Notice what verse 23 says. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. There, in verse 22 was what God has done for us and how we are to come to Him with what He's done for us. In verse 23, we're told that we have a responsibility to hold fast. To hold fast. We have a selfward responsibility. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me who has that selfward responsibility to continue on and enjoy the life that God has given me. Now, you can forsake it. You can walk away from it. It's not going to change your eternal destiny. You can get mad and sad and all those things, and now all that happens. And you can just say, well, no. I've seen people, you know, who would say, well, I don't know why God is allowing all this to happen to me. Well, poor old you. What happened to Jesus for you? You ever stop to think about that? Would you like to swap places with Him? And what He did for you? No. Listen, I'm not making light of times of sadness and darkness and stuff in our lives. That happens to all of us. But we have a responsibility that no matter how bad things are, Jesus is greater than it all. And we need to stay focused on Him. One believer can stir on another believer. The Bible tells us that we can spur one another toward love and good deeds because of a manward responsibility in verse 24. Not only do we have a Godward responsibility as we approach Him, we have a selfward responsibility to keep focused on what God has called us to do. And then third, we have a manward responsibility. One believer will encourage, help, and stimulate another believer to evidence the fruit of a saved life. It is no part of the Christian life to willfully go it alone. Christians need the help to be derived from each other's fellowship. We need each other. We have a manward responsibility. You have a responsibility to me to show up every Sunday. And I have a responsibility to you that when I come and stand here, I am ready to preach God's Word because I've been in God's Word and I want you to know what God has to say. We have a responsibility to each other. And we should come with a unity of the faith. Alice is going to sing a song for us right now. But we're talking about unity. Listen to this great song.
I will kneel in the dust at the foot of the cross where mercy paid for me. Where the wrath I deserve, it is gone, it is past. Your blood has healed me. Mercy, mercy, as endless as the sea. I'll sing your hallelujah for all eternity. We will lift up the cup and this bread we will break. the foot of the cross, where mercy paid for me.
Amen. Our three responsibilities: Godward, selfward, manward. One of the things you and I are supposed to do to each other is to spur one another on to love and to good deeds. And we are, have we been commanded by the Lord Jesus himself to remember his death. You know, we're never told to remember his birth. But what gets most of the celebration? But it was his death that paid the price for you and me. So today, if you would right now, if you would peel that top portion off, and we're going to celebrate what Christ has done for us today, and remembering that he's coming again. And we're obeying the Lord today by fulfilling what he said to remember his death and what he did for us, spurring one another on to remember. So as there's be two parts here, I'll have a part that I will read and then you will read. But hesitate in between each one, because I'll need to give an instruction when we come to the part where it says to take and eat. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. So congregation, read this. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Take and eat. In congregation, read this. After the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Take and drink. Congregation, read with me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Read it with me. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Read with me. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Today we've been obedient. The Lord told us to remember. We have a responsibility to each other. We have a responsibility as believers to come with a pure heart, a true heart, conscientiously. To come with all that God has for us there. To come with full assurance of our faith. And to come with the idea of knowing that God has a perfect will and perfect plan. But we also have a responsibility as brethren. And that is as a part of the body of Christ. There is, first of all, the great imperative. Look with me there in verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That is a great imperative. In fact, this is in the imperative mode. And that means that it's not a suggestion. It means do it. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Nothing should interfere with the body of Christ coming together. I don't care what it is. I know that there are times that, you know, there's sickness, there's illness, there's death, there's all types of things. Well, I want to tell you, nothing is more important for the believer than to come together with the body of Christ for the sake of worship, for the sake of fellowship, for the sake of discipleship, for the sake of ministry, and for the sake of evangelism. Those five purposes, those things, that's what we're to do. It is an imperative for us. In fact, the Greek word that's there, episunagoge. Boy, that's a big mouthful, isn't it? It's where the root word there is where they get the word synagogue from. It literally means gathering together. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it is used to describe the coming together. It says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him." It's talking about the rapture of the church. And it's the same thing, the same word that's used here in Hebrews chapter 10. Don't forsake that coming together. In other words, you don't want to miss this. How many of you want to miss the rapture of the church? Anybody? Well, it's the same thing. He says the rapture of the church, every Sunday it ought to be the same thing. We ought to be coming here praying and believing that God could come today. And if He came today, we don't want to miss it. Now, there are some things you can miss in life. Some of us could miss a few meals. It wouldn't hurt us. Some of us could miss some of those bad habits that we have. That certainly wouldn't hurt us. It would help us. But there's one thing in life you do not want to miss, and that is the gathering together of God's people. There's power when God's people join together. There's the presence of God that He promises when people come together. So there's the imperative. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Is it forsaken today? The second thing is there's the great incentive. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day? Listen, it's the day of the Lord. It's the day that the Lord Jesus is going to come for His own. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep, the Scripture says. He says, because in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him. And He closes that passage by saying, therefore, comfort one another with these words. I believe it was last week I told you that the early Christians would greet each other in the street by saying, Maranatha. And the word Maranatha means, come, Lord Jesus. When we greet each other on Sundays, when we talk to each other during the week, it ought to be, Maranatha, may the Lord come today. And when we come to celebrate that, we should be looking forward to it. As the darkness, listen, do you believe there's darkness in this world? As the darkness deepens all around, and what abundant evidences there are everywhere today that the Lord's coming is near, I believe it is. It is just a whisper away. I can hear Gabriel licking his lips right now. We are to cling together, and we are to resist every pressure that would draw us away from the assembly of God's people. Let us face our great responsibility. Having been invited to come into God's immediate presence, we must resist anything that would draw us away.
Not even funny, dude.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
The 50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Now get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right, let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground, just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left.
A little bit left.
I bet he does.
There you go. Show me good effort. That away, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
I'm out of the 20 yet.
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. Just rest in a second.
You got to keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on, keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm about out of strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength, but don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going, you hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Don't quit! No! Keep going! Keep going! Keep going! Don't quit! Don't quit! Don't quit! Brock Kelly, you don't quit! Keep going! Keep going! Go, Brock Kelly! You don't quit on me! No! You keep going! You keep going! Go, Brock! 10 more steps! 10 more! 10 more! 10 more! Keep going! Don't quit! Give me your heart! You can! You can! Five more! Five more! Come on, Brock! Come on! Don't quit! Don't quit! Come on, Brock! Two more! One more!
Oh. It's got to be 50. It's got to be 50. I don't have any more.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. You are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Oh, tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field on your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
Coach?
What is it, Jeremy?
I weigh 160.
Who's next? Don't you quit. Our tasks are difficult. Our call is hard. We have to sacrifice. But there are people looking to you. Today we have our children in here with us. Parents, those children are looking to you. What will be the example that you will set? Will you set the example of giving up and walking away and treating the church and the things of God like it's, you know, it's something that you do if you don't have anything else to do? Or will you stand up and give all that you have because Christ gave everything that he had for you? And he is the one who is coming alongside of us. He promised us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, as we're going through our lives and the struggles that we face, he's saying, don't quit. Don't quit. Every one of us are, as believers and part of this church, we're leaders. People are looking to us. The community is looking to us. And everywhere that we go, they're saying, is this Christianity stuff anything to it? Is it real? Well, it hasn't changed old Joe's life. He's gone to the lake this weekend instead of going to church. Now, there's nothing wrong with going to the lake. But why don't you do it on Monday? Oh, I got to work on Monday. Because work is more important to you than coming together. Don't you quit. Don't let the devil take his lies and fill your mind and your heart with those things. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit of God is calling to you and saying, don't quit. Life has many burdens in it, many troubles, many heartaches, many hurts, many things that are going on. But don't quit. Give it your best shot. God deserves our best. He gave his best for you. And he deserves your best. Don't quit, because the ultimate goal is to get to the finish line. One of these days, people are going to gather together to remember your life. Wouldn't it be great for them to say he didn't quit? She would not quit, no matter she had all these problems and all these difficulties, but she refused to quit. She hung in there and she served God all of her days. Wouldn't that be a great epitaph day? Don't quit. Our coach is alongside of us. In fact, the Bible calls it the Greek word is the parakaleo, the one who's called along beside of us, the Holy Spirit of God, who promises that he will be with us. He'll give us the words that we need to say. But we have to make a choice whether we're going to serve God or whether we're going to play church. Which is it, church? I want to spur you on this morning. I want to encourage you, and I want to say to you as your pastor, don't quit. There are people that are dying every day going to hell. Don't quit. They're depending on you and me to get the gospel to them. And if we don't do it, who will? Don't quit. Don't quit. Now today, as we close our service, maybe there's someone here who's never even trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior today. They've just kind of been playing around with it. They attend here, there, and yonder. They do a little bit of things. They're basically a good moral person. But I want to tell you, good moral people will die and go to hell because they never trusted Jesus Christ. Now, we ought to be good moral people. But being a good moral person is not going to get you to heaven. Only Jesus can get you to heaven. So if you've never trusted him today, he died for you. He didn't quit on you. He went all the way up Calvary's hill. He willingly laid down and let them drive the nails through his hands and through his feet. And he cried out, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He never quit on you. And all he asked for you is that you will open your heart. Say yes to him and commit your life to him. Will you do that today? What about it, believer, church member? Are you willing to lay it all down and make the Lord's work a priority in your life and not quit? What kind of church would my church be if every church member was just like me? Are you willing to say that? Let's say that together. What kind of church would my church be if every church member was just like me? What kind would it be? You answer it in your own heart. So church member today, maybe you need to come and repent. Say, I really haven't made the Lord's work a priority. I've been sidetracked. Listen, we can all get sidetracked easily. That's why we need to be spurred on to get back on track. Lord, this is your invitation. It's your people.